Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here, along with Jennifer and Stephen and our team upstairs, and of course our chaplains who take your prayer requests. If you have a need in your life and you need to talk to someone live, you're always welcome to do that as well. Our number here at the Intentional Living Center, if you want to leave a comment, is 888-888-1717. If you were listening last week, we did something a little different on the format. We had Chris Cummins join us. He's the pastor of Doxa Church in Tucson. Doxa meaning glory, and of course, bring glory to God. And his ministry, his whole reason for being in Tucson, is to plant a church right off the campus of the University of Arizona, where there's 45,000 students. Many of them need to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful ministry. And we asked Chris to come and join us as the pastor here, as a young man himself, with four beautiful kids and a wife.
That's right.
Welcome. And you have four. What ages are your kids?
So our oldest is 10, and then 9, and then 7 and 6. I had to think about it for a minute because our 9-year-old just turned 9. If Bexley, if you're listening, happy birthday. So
that's good. And you know, they get a little weirder after age 10.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. It's interesting to see them become, their personality start to come out a little bit
more. There you go.
Yeah.
No, it's a great, great age. And these are four precious foster children that you adopted.
Yes. Yeah. So all four of our kids, none of them are biologically related to my wife and I, but they are all biologically brothers and sisters. So they all come from the same home. We got a phone call on a Friday morning saying, hey, we have three kids. Are you willing to take them? We said yes. And then 5 months later, we asked another call for their baby brother who was born. And so
Amen.
We spent about 2 years fostering them, and then we adopted them all on the same day. And then a week later, we took them to Disney World to celebrate adoption.
There you go. That's great. You know, you could have gone to probably a lot of established churches that were looking for a young, bright, godly pastor to come in and lead them. And yet you chose to pack up from the Dallas area and move to the campus, basically, of University of Arizona and plant a church. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, at the beginning of our kind of foster care journey, we started feeling called to go plant a church. We didn't really know where. We felt called to plant a collegiate church somewhere close to a college campus. For a lot of reasons, we believe the university is North America's really kind of greatest missional asset. And so we really wanted to lean into that. There's a lot of strategy, I think, that really benefits kingdom expansion when it comes to engaging with college students and next generation ministries. And so we shouldn't know where. And then over the course of time, it just became abundantly clear. We felt like God was leading us to Tucson. And I tell people, usually we came to two convictions. One was someone should plant a church in Tucson. And then we felt like God was calling us to be one of what we pray to be, the many that plants churches here. So we moved.
And you spoke to our staff of, I don't know, several weeks ago, and your message was really on involvement. In other words, getting the church to be the church and get out and reach, and that you need workers. And you made an interesting statement that, if I heard you right, it really isn't the gospel's isn't the problem. It's that we don't have enough people sharing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the comments I made was every city, regardless of the demographic makeup or culture of that city, whatever it might be, every city's greatest need is for more laborers, right? It's not the homelessness in the city. It's not drug abuse or alcoholism or struggling families and marriages. The greatest need for every single city across the board is a lack of laborers. And we see that clearly in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus is with his disciples and sees the crowd and tells them, hey, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yeah.
And so pray for workers to be raised up, to be sent out into the harvest. And so what Jesus tells us there is not to not pray for the harvest. We should pray for the harvest. We should pray for the loss, but he prioritizes our prayers and says, hey, what we need to really be praying is for laborers. And so the heartbeat of our church at Doxa really is to raise up laborers and to raise up church planters and to raise up future church leaders, to send them out to plant churches and to send them out into that harvest.
Now, as you're listening all around the country, the radio or our podcast, the reason we're doing this is because you live in a community where there's a lot of Gen Z. And of course, we know this has been an elevated topic of this generation, given the recent killing of Charlie Kirk, frankly, and the focus that's been placed on this. And we see this young generation really looking and seeking truth. And we want to put a spotlight on that for those of us that have an opportunity to reach these young folks in your community, in your college campus area, because we cover college campus areas all around the country. And maybe this is an opportunity for you as a pastor or college pastor want to get into ministry in this area to think about how can we be effective in reaching this generation. And you're welcome to share your stories on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Tell us again, Gen Z, what ages and what makes this a unique, maybe uniquely different generation than, let's say, the X or certainly the boomers?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you think Gen Z, you're predominantly thinking right now, high school, college, a little bit beyond college. I think the upper limit's around like 28-ish. And so that's really kind of the demographic that you're thinking of. And when it comes to this generation in particular, what we're seeing largely is that they are being labeled as the open generation, meaning that they've been given the quote-unquote morals, if you will, of the secular world. Mm. And they're recognizing this is not life-giving for me. And they're looking for authentic, genuine truth. And they are far more open to the gospel than any real generation we've seen kind of before that. And because of that, what we've seen is we've seen Gen Z really step into the church. And so over the last four different generations, you're seeing a constant kind of withdrawal from the church from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
But now Gen Z, they're actually leading the charge. They attend church more frequently than any other current generation.
Do you see this sticking? I mean, is this genuine stuff? Is that what you're seeing in the ones coming to your church?
Yeah, absolutely. Like they want what's real. They want truth. And when you can give them Jesus, man, they are hungry for that truth. And it's we're seeing a lot of Gen Z come to faith in Jesus. A lot of Gen Z leading other students to faith in Jesus. Like the number of baptisms at Doxa's that we've seen where a student baptized their roommate or baptized their friend or classmate or whatever, right, is a crazy number. Like it's just constant. Like we'll ask these students, how'd you come to faith in Jesus? It's like, well, my friend told me. And I started seeing his life and I started experiencing life change for myself. And so it is legitimate, authentic. Like we are on the cusp of what seems to be a legitimate revival happening inside this generation. And I think it's just the beginning. This is the beginning of a true shift.
What are you seeing as these young people are, they're thinking about their careers and getting out of college and thinking, what do they want to do with their lives? And what do they see in the future? Do you see a lot of them interested in getting into ministry in some way or what?
Yeah, I do think there's a lot of growing interest in ministry for sure. At Doxa, one of the things that we do, we've created a ministry residency for students that are coming out of college to kind of learn more about what it means to, you know, lead the church and, you know, be on staff at a church. And so we do a 2-year program with them where they're getting seminary degrees and like hands-on ministry experience, all that kind of stuff. And we see a lot of interest in students for that kind of program and that kind of trajectory. But I'll say even this, even for students who don't feel like their calling is necessarily vocational ministry, right, we are seeing that a lot of people in this generation really want to make their life count for what really actually matters. And because they're coming to faith in Jesus, because they're experiencing that kind of awakening in their life, they are wanting to really posture themselves to say, how can I live my life in a way that will make the most of Jesus to those around me? Oh. And so that's what we're seeing is no matter what really occupation they were going into, they're wanting to make Jesus known.
What are some of the things that have shaped this generation? I know COVID is one we were talking about off air, but there's other, what are some of the factors that parents and grandparents need to be aware of thinking about, hey, my young people or my grandkids, whatever, these are things that are shaping them that didn't shape us 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. So this is a generation that grew up almost all online. So iPhone was already made. Access to internet was there like at their birth, you know? And so for a lot of them, that's been their world. You know, like I can think back to when I was growing up and like that was just, we didn't have that kind of access to those kind of things. You know, you maybe had a home computer and it was big and bulky and you had to do the dial up tone to get online. You had to like call in to the internet. to get on the internet. And this generation has that kind of instant access. And so what that's done is this generation more than any other generation, because of that access, has kind of naturally been discipled by the culture at large. You know, they're hearing things on social media, seeing things through the lens of their phones, on TV, having conversations with people when they're in elementary school that, man, wouldn't even cross my mind until I would have gotten to college, you know. All these kind of things, they're, that access of information is right there. So because of that access of information, I think what we're seeing now is the secular society was giving them, hey, this is what's good for you. This is what's life-giving for you. They were, in a way, discipling them towards that trajectory. But now what Gen Z's done is they've grown up in that and they're recognizing, hey, everything you said was going to give me life isn't actually giving me life. And so I don't think this is actually where life is. And what we're seeing a lot of is they're what I like to call backing into Christianity. In other words, what's happening is they're practicing the morals and the ethics of the culture. They're realizing it's not life-giving. Then they're trying an alternative moral and ethic, which happens to be biblical. And they're realizing, when I follow the morality and ethic of the Bible, it's very life-giving for me. Yeah. Like I'm experiencing authentic joy. And then they're realizing there must be something about this God of the Bible. And then they're kind of backing into Christianity in that direction. And so we're seeing a lot of that happen for sure amongst Gen Z.
And yet we know statistically that this is probably the highest depression generation as far as they're struggling. We want to talk about that in a moment. We got a caller that's going to talk about that themselves. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. By the way, if you just joined us, Chris Cummins, he's pastor at Doxa Church at the University of Arizona, right off the campus. And the reason we're talking, obviously this is one campus, but the message today is really for every community and all across the country through our radio and our podcasting to realize that this generation is ripe, really ripe to share the gospel. Yeah. And that's really the message we're trying to get across today to be encouraging to you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for just listening to me and helping my heart today. And I want to tell you something that you need to hear because of what you do. And you're like Paul Harvey. You get the rest of the story. I've been listening to you for a long time. And I tell everybody this, and I tell everybody listening to your show, that you've made me a better husband, better father, a better friend, a better neighbor, a better human being, you and Dr. Lehman and the people that you have on, that you have just, through God, strengthened me. And I am such a better person today because of your show. So please keep doing what you do.
You're very welcome. We do this because of your prayers and, frankly, because you support the ministry and allow us to do this through our podcast, our events, our books, through the radio. Thank you. You can find out more by going to theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2. Chris Cummins is here. He's a pastor of the Doxa Church just off the campus of University of Arizona, 45,000 students, and hundreds of them are coming across the street because they want to know more about Jesus.
That's right.
And at the same time, we know this Gen Z is highest on the list. It's interesting. Baby boomers have the lowest in depression, and Gen Z, who their whole future ahead of them, their whole life, have the highest. And we know people struggle with that. I want you to hear a caller we came in from Montana, I think, Connor. And then I want you to comment on this and tell me what are you hearing about what some of these young people need. So take a listen.
Mm-hmm. name is Connor, and I was just listening to the prodigal stories, and I guess my story is that I was in high school, and I was so depressed, and, you know, I don't even know what brought it over me. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. I had a wonderful family and a wonderful life, but for some reason, this depression just stuck into my life and just took me over, and it pulled me away from church. It pulled me from God, and I decided to go after other things to feel this love that I was looking for. It wasn't until I went to a conference in Seattle, my brother took me to, where I kind of like came to myself and realized, you know, that God wasn't about rules, God wasn't about what I was doing, but more about just He loves me. And, you know, He wanted what was best for me. And then I felt like I met God for the first time. I felt like my entire life I'd heard about Him, and I had never understood. And at one moment, it all just clicked, and it came to me, and I realized that God wasn't judging me. I had nothing to be ashamed of. It was just this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. And my parents, for years, they just prayed and prayed and prayed for me. And they never gave up on me, and they loved me no matter what I did. And for many reasons, you know, they could have just completely cut me off, and they didn't, and they just showed me so much grace and so much love. I am thankful for that today, and they were the greatest example of God's love to me, and so I'm just really thankful, and now try to be that to other people.
Thank you, Connor, from Montana. Christian young person, pastor's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Depression. You're probably seeing a lot of that, aren't you? These young people struggling. What are you seeing from them from the standpoint of their own personal lives, psychologically and otherwise?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anxiety, depression is certainly running rampant in the hearts and lives of Gen Z. I think a lot of that is due to, again, kind of growing up online and all the exposure that kind of happens online. And, you know, when I post something on social media, it doesn't get a certain number of likes or views or whatever, and can very easily, I think, lead towards this sense of anxiety and depression. And so, yeah, we're certainly seeing that in the hearts and lives of college students. Even though we're seeing more and more students come into faith in Jesus, this is certainly a big struggle for a lot of those in Gen Z.
How do we help them? What do you do? I mean, do you have counseling? What do you recommend when you see that happening? I mean, it happens anywhere, but especially Gen Z.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is for the gospel to be something that is real in the hearts of Gen Z.
Yeah.
Just like that story that we just heard, like, you can know a lot about God in your head. You can grow up in the Christian home. You can know all the right answers. But I think the biggest thing is letting that become something that's deep within the soul and deep within the heart, strong, deep conviction. And so where the church, I think, can really step in is to really help take potentially the knowledge that they have, if they don't have it, to give them that knowledge, but then to also help it radically sink into their heart to where it's starting to make some legitimate changes. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do in that regard. Counseling certainly helps for that. There's been plenty of students that I think our church meets with on a regular basis to talk through these kind of things. Being in community with other people that are struggling with maybe this or just other things that are just authentic and real with each other, I think can help. I think a lot of the lies that we can tend to buy into and that Gen Z can buy into is that when they struggle with these things, they're the only ones. Mm. And putting them in a community where they're recognizing, yeah, I'm not alone in this, and that there's hope for me. And this person found hope in Jesus, and I can too, I think can be a really helpful way to just engage them. And I think their heart's hungry for it too.
We're talking about reaching Gen Z. And if you just joined us, Chris Cummins, a pastor of a church just off the campus of University of Arizona, reaching Gen Z. You said this is the most open generation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help them close it down a little bit to live their lives in a biblical sense with a culture around them saying, hey, everything is available?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. They're open. They want to hear the gospel. At the same time, they want to make their life count for what truly matters. And that combination is awesome for the kingdom of God to expand. And so I think when the church can give them a God-sized vision, like, hey, here's how your life fits into the vision that God has given the church locally and globally. Man, I think their hearts they want that like so bad, and they cling to that kind of vision, and they run for it, you know? And so even at our church, we've given a vision to our church of like, hey, we want to plant churches and multiply laborers and send people out to saturate our city with gospel proclaiming, Bible believing churches. And because we live in one of the most post-Christian cities in America, like we want to see our city change. It's not going to happen with one church. And we've put this out before them, and literally, like, there are college students that were graduating as seniors that are now like, I want to stay in Tucson to become a part of that vision. And so when you can give them a God-sized vision for their life, hey, this is what God's called us to as a church. This is how you can be a part of that, both in college and beyond.
Yeah.
Man, it really helped. Like it that is just what wants to ignite their hearts so badly. And I think it can really propel them to be really effective with the gospel.
You know, one of the things I noticed with Charlie Kirk and a lot of the televised activities and things, there was seemed like a mix between faith and politics.
Yeah.
Do you see that? I mean, is this a partly a political thing too for a lot of these young people, or what do you think? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think Gen Z, I think they want truth, but they also want truth in some areas that politics have like come into. Okay. So for example, I think a lot of people can say that the church in America is becoming too political or like more political. I think the reality is that politics has bled more into religion. Okay. And things that were not really talked about in the political circle are that were mainly talked about in religious circles are now being highlighted in the political circle. Things like sexuality, abortion. Right. And so students in Gen Z, they want answers to those questions. And honestly, the church should disciple them in that.
That's right.
You know, because otherwise the culture is discipling students in this regard. And so the church should lean into these kind of things and not shy away from them because they've become political, but really to hold ground and stand firm on the gospel, because that's what they want to know. Yeah. Well, I've had dozens of college students that have asked how to handle these kind of issues inside their classrooms because they have friends that believe certain things, or a professor is promoting something else or whatever. And they want to know, how do I live out the gospel in light of these other truths that are being constantly promoted towards me?
That's good. You know, that's been said, you know, this on Sunday morning at church, it's one of the most segregated places often. And we got to be careful about silos. And I know you're ministering to this generation. Do the older folks need to be a part of this too? I mean, don't we need to be there together?
Yeah.
Don't we really, this intergenerational thing, isn't that really an important thing that would be a big add to even what you're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. The one of the things that we strongly believe is that the best way to disciple the next generation is in the context of the local church with this generation.
Yeah.
And so college students have a lot to learn from when it comes to, you know, all the generations above them, a lot of wisdom that can be passed down to them. And so, yeah, we very much believe that like the church needs to be an expression of that, to where for a college student, they can learn from the boomers above them and seek their wisdom while at the same time imparting what they've learned to the younger generation, those that are in our kids' ministries. And so even at Doxa, we see ourselves as, hey, we want to have one foot on the campus. We want to intentionally go after college students at U of A and one foot in the city and be really a church of blended with both. College students, Gen Z, what's going to help them a ton in their growth and development is being a part of a multi-generational local church.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left. The role of parents and grandparents. What difference can we all make in this generation today? Because I think we probably got some of our listeners thinking, I feel a little irrelevant. You know, they get their media different. They get get their music is different. And, you know, I don't know how to connect with this generation.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah, I think when it comes to engaging, you know, Gen Z, man, do not overlook just the importance of prayer in their life. The faithful prayers of moms and dads can be so incredibly powerful in the life of a Gen Z student or whoever. And so that's so incredibly needed and powerful. At the same time, Gen Z, like I said, they want to know what's real and authentic. You know, you got AI now that's like doing its thing, and they're like, I don't know if that's real or if AI made it or whatever. And they're trying to figure out like what is true, you know. And I think the older generations that have been faithful to the gospel have so much wisdom to share of like, hey, this is what's true, and we've experienced it, and impart that to them, I think, is a huge thing.
Speaking of AI, I called for a hotel reservation the other day, and at the end I realized this has got to be AI. This is too perfect. So I asked the operator, I said, are you AI or a real person? And she said, no, I'm artificial intelligence, but they've given me a great personality. So we don't know, do we?
It's all over the place. And that's the thing is Gen Z wants to know what's real.
Are you not real
what's
or not?
Fake. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. How can we pray for you?
Yeah, I mean, be praying, be praying for our family as we disciple our kids. Kind of vision for our family is we want to see our kids come to faith in Jesus. We want to see our kids be a part of expanding the kingdom of God in Tucson and beyond, and become a part of that bigger vision that God's given us. And so be praying for my wife and I as we continue to disciple and lead our family at home. And then just continue to pray for our church that we have more favor with Gen Z, more favor with all other generations in our community. And we really do pray that we see a day with our own eyes where the city of Tucson is radically changed by the gospel and saturated with the gospel through the saturation of healthy churches.
Thank you, Chris, for coming in.
Yeah,
God
thank
bless you.
You.
All right, doing a great job near the college campus and for the college, in this case, University of Arizona. But what about your campus, Michigan State, University of Michigan, or Kansas, or wherever you're listening? Gen Z, we got to reach this generation, because you know what? They're going to be taking care of you when you're old.
That's right.
So let's take good care of them now, right? That's just a thought. Hey, thanks for being a part of the show today. This is Intentional Living. As you know, our mission is very clear. We want to help you experience your life the way God intended. First of all, to know Him personally. If you don't, you can today. You know, it's realizing that I'm done with trying to do this myself and to give my life to the Lord Jesus, and then to live today. What one thing could you do today that'll bring glory to God and benefit to those that you love, including your own life? That's what our mission is about, to help you live intentionally in Him. If you'd like to know more about the ministry, go to theintentionallife.com, or you can call 888-888-1717. For our entire team here, God bless you. Thanks for your support, for your prayers, for being a part of Intentional Living. We'll be back again tomorrow and help you understand again, what does God's Word say about living intentionally in Him? Have a great day.